ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 12, titled Srimad Bhagavatam Summarized, verse number 4. Atra Brahma Paramam Guhyam Jagata Prabhavapyayam Jnanam Cha Tadubhakhyanam ప్రోక్తం విజ్ఞాన సంయుతం. అత్ర హియర్ బ్రహ్మ ద అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్, పరం సుప్రీం, గుహ్యం కాన్ఫిడెన్షియల్, జగత ఆఫ్ దిస్ యూనివర్స్, ప్రభవ ద క్రియేషన్, అప్యయం అండ్ అనహిలేషన్, జ్ఞానం నాలెడ్జ్ చ అండ్ తదుపాఖ్యానం ద మీన్స్ ఆఫ్ కల్టివేటింగ్ ఇట్, ప్రోక్తం ఆర్ స్పోకన్, విజ్ఞాన ట్రాన్సెండెంటల్ రియలైజేషన్, సంయుతం ఇన్క్లూడింగ్. దిస్ లిటరేచర్ డిస్క్రైబ్స్ ద మిస్టరీ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీమ్ అబ్సల్యూట్ ట్రూత్, the source of all the creation and annihilation of this universe. Also presented our divine knowledge of him together with the process of its cultivation and the transcendental realization one achieves. So there is no purport to this, so I'll read further.
Bhakti yoga samakhyado vairagyam cha tadashrayam parikshitam ubakhyanam narakhyanam evacha.
The following topics are also narrated: the process of devotional service together with its subsidiary feature of renunciation, and the histories of Maharaj Parikshit and the sage Narada.
ప్రాయోపవేశో రాజశ్రేయరుత్పశాపాత్ పరీక్షితః శుకస్య బ్రహ్మర్షభస్య సంవిదశ్చ పరీక్షితః.
ఆల్సో డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ఆర్ సెయింట్లీ కింగ్ పరీక్షిత్ సిటింగ్ డౌన్ టు ఫాస్ట్ అంటిల్ డెత్ ఇన్ రెస్పాన్స్ టు ద కర్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎ బ్రాహ్మణ సన్, అండ్ ద కన్వర్సేషన్స్ బిట్వీన్ పరీక్షిత్ అండ్ శుకదేవ్ గోస్వామి, హూ ఇస్ ద బెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ బ్రాహ్మణస్.
యోగధారణయోత్క్రాంతి సంవాదో నారదాజయో అవతారానుగీతం చ సర్గ ప్రాధానికోగ్నత.
ద భాగవతం ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ హౌ వన్ కెన్ అటైన్ లిబరేషన్ అట్ ద టైమ్ ఆఫ్ డెత్ బై ప్రాక్టీసింగ్ ఫిక్స్డ్ మెడిటేషన్ ఇన్ యోగా. ఇట్ ఆల్సో కంటైన్స్ ఎ డిస్కషన్ బిట్వీన్ నారద అండ్ బ్రహ్మ, and enumeration of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a description of how the universe was created in progressive sequence, beginning from the unmanifest stage of material nature. So here is a purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that it would be difficult to give a complete list of the numerous accounts of the topics contained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it is understood that Suta Goswami is merely summarizing the topics. We should not consider the topics he fails to mention here less important or superfluous, since every letter and word of Srimad Bhagavatam is absolute, Krishna conscious sound vibration.
ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంతస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాఖయ చక్షురుమిళితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం.
വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരോ ശ്രീയുതപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരൂൻ വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണാരഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപാദാൻ സഹഗണാലളിതാ ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ സപ്ത കാഞ്ചന ഗോരംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരീ വൃഷഭാനുസൃതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ വാഞ്ഛകൽപാദരൂപ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധൂഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗോദ്ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ Hare Krishna. So here we are coming to the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the chapter itself is titled Srimad Bhagavatam Summarized. So here we can see many points in a very concise fashion, and in the first part it's mentioned that the verse itself is starting, it is Atra Brahma Param Guhyam. So the first point we had to understand, the knowledge of devotional service that is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam in its pure form is Param Guhyam, it is confidential. And as we discussed earlier, it is an open secret. And only through devotion can one know Krishna. So in 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the second verse, it's mentioned, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. So it is Raja Guhya, it's the secret of all the secrets. Now, in the same line, it is mentioned two points here. One is Jnanam and the other one is Vijnanam. So knowledge that is presented about devotional service has two aspects. One is Jnanam and other one is Vijnanam. So in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the second verse, it is mentioned, Jnanam teham sa vijnanam idam vakshyami asheshataha egyata neha bhuyo anya gyadavyam avashishyate. That is, okay, I will explain to you the full knowledge. And what is the significance of this knowledge? Because it has Jnanam and Vijnanam. There, Srila Prabhupada explains as phenomenal and numinous. So one is the knowledge about the material world, about the matter, and numinous is referring to the spiritual knowledge. So the complete knowledge means the spiritual knowledge as well as the material knowledge. So that is one point. Second, Jnanam and Vijnanam can refer to the theoretical knowledge and the practical knowledge. So Jnanam is of course theoretical knowledge about devotional service, that is understanding how to do, what to do, etc. and our relation with Krishna. Now how we can actually implement that is and the realization aspect. So Bhagavatam is actually realized knowledge. It's the realized knowledge presented by Suta Goswami. So that really it can bring us from knowledge, from Jnana to Vijnana platform. It can take us from knowledge, theoretical knowledge, to actual application and factual realization within the heart. So that is the Vijnana aspect, which is again significant. So in this connection, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that when we try to understand Vijnana, if we know all the energies of Krishna, that we can see as Jnana. And in the material world, most of the people are entangled in energies of Krishna in the form of matter. So it has different varieties and people are entangled in the material energy. So that is energy. Now, Vijnanam means knowing who is the source of that energy and linking to the source. So that is Vijnanam. So the devotional service is Vijnanam, because it is we are understanding who is the source and then we are trying to link to the source. So that is Vijnanam. So that is mentioned in this verse. It is Jnanam cha tad upakhyanam proktam vijnana samyutam. So it is along with Vijnan. It actually gives a transcendental realization. then it presented, okay, it also talks about conversation between great personalities, because through conversations they are sharing their deep realizations about Krishna. They are sharing their realization about the Supreme Absolute Truth. And also gives the knowledge about creation, sustenance and annihilation of the material world. So everything, again, we have to understand the basic point, that is, whenever we talk about creation, point number one, in the material world, even though we consider invention, discoveries, creation of so many different things, it is just transformation, because nobody has created anything so far in the material world with material intelligence. Because it has been only transformed from one form to another form, that's all. So when we talk about creation, creation from, in one sense, it's from nothing to something, but actually it is also not nothing, because Krishna has his unmanifest energy. It's been actually his own energy, in one sense, it's from him, so he created from nothing. So it is nothing to something, that is creation. And second point regarding creation, it is the basis of creation is spirit, and it is not just transformation of the matter. So the creation, the source is spirit. So in terms of any creation, it is source is spirit, and from there the matter comes. Even in Rishabh they say, Karmana Deva Netrena Jantur Deho Bhavate Sriya Pravishta Udharam Pumso Redakana Ashreha. So Srila Prabhupada explains the last word, Ashreha. Ashreha means shelter. So it's not that the living entity just got manufactured by karma or by Deva Netra, by the arrangement of the superior lords. No, it is by the living entity has taken shelter of a male body, of the semen of a male body. So that's how it's ashraya. Srila Prabhupada explains it's ashraya, it is taking shelter of. So there is no creation as such for the spirit soul. It can only take shelter, that's all. So again, then the creation in all forms, when we consider the human creation, or in other words, if you are growing up in the womb of a mother, or if we consider the impregnation of the mother nature by the Supreme Lord, by his glands, all these are by the spirit soul. There is a Supreme Spirit and here is an infinite small spirit. So just the spirit soul is actually causing the creation and the transformation of matter. So that is another point we had to understand regarding creation. Now, so these are different topics that is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. And when you try to understand Bhagavatam, who is the prospective audience for Srimad Bhagavatam, there are two kinds of audience that is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, who are the right recipients of Srimad Bhagavatam. One is, it is for Paramahamsas. So Srimad Bhagavatam is known as Paramahamsa Samhita. Because those who are on the transcendental platform, who are above the modes of material nature and who are unaffected by the tinge of material nature, in even to a tiny respect, they can completely swim in the ocean of nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, when you look at that platform, that looks very far away, and we can find ourselves quite unqualified, just looking at our own heart. So Srimad Bhagavatam mentions, yes, there is one more kind of people who can actually take full advantage of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a very nice qualification. That is, samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam yam vyasa sunum upayami gurum muninam. So that qualified people are who are materially contaminated. So we can find ourselves very much qualified to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. In terms of reading, in terms of studying, in terms of discussing, in terms of applying and realizing, in all these different aspects, we are fully qualified to take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the specific word mentioned in this verse is tamontham. Tamontham. Tamontham means it is completely blind because of gross ignorance. For those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest region of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge, after having personally assimilated it by experience. So personally assimilated by experience. Who assimilated this? By Suta Goswami. So Suta Goswami heard in the assembly of Srila Sukadeva Goswami, King Parikshit and all the great sages,
And after hearing that, he meditated upon and he completely realized Srimad Bhagavatam. There is one thing we can hear and realization is something else. It starts from the hearing. However, realizing means it is a fact. There is no question of doubt. It's fact, like, you know, if there is a light, we can see, okay, there is light, we can see it, it's a fact. There is no question of imagination, there is no question of just applying logic, whether it's light, no, it's light. In the same way, one who is realized, for him, it's a fact. For us, we have questions, whether it may be true for some devotees, may not be true for me. But this is fully realized. So that is Sutta Goswami, and he speaks Srimad Bhagavatam. For samsarinam karunayaha pirana guhyam. Again the time comes, pirana guhyam. It's again the secret. It's very confidential. And it is revealed and it is presented completely in front of us by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Now today we will focus on one particular statement in the purport, that is to verse 7, where it is mentioned that every letter and every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is absolute Krishna conscious sound vibration. We can try to understand what does that mean. Every letter and every word of Srimad Bhagavatam is absolute Krishna conscious sound vibration. So this is a very profound statement. Every letter and every word, if you just try to think about it, it's just profound. So trying to understand this, okay, how it usually understand the material knowledge, just by logic, reasoning and analyzing. Then we try to understand, okay, this has to be in this way or in the other way. So just by logic and reasoning. So by limited by just logic and reasoning. So this is the nature of material knowledge. And it can be very dry. Especially Srimad Bhagavatam presents absolute philosophy. It's the knowledge of the absolute. Just like the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, knowledge of the absolute. It's amazing. The absolute can be presented in few words. The absolute knowledge, the absolute truth can be presented in some language. People get confused hearing this. People can question, people can feel doubtful about this point. How can one understand the absolute by few words from a so-called one language? And here, okay, we had to understand when we talk about the language, the absolute is not limited by the language. One time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was giving a lecture. And he was giving this lecture in English. And most of his audience were Bengalis. Not more, all of his audience were Bengalis. And they, and many of them didn't know proper English. But he was giving in English and at one point he was stuck. And he was just searching for one particular word to explain. And he was just keep searching. Thinking, you know, he's thinking and thinking. It was a pause, a long pause. So one of his disciples told Guru Maharaj, humbly he spoke, Guru Maharaj, why don't you speak in Bengali? Because we all know Bengali. Bhaktisiddhanta became very heavy. He said, no, I am not speaking English. I am not speaking Bengali. I am speaking the language of the spiritual world. He repeated that point. I am speaking the language of the spiritual world. So when somebody speaks with realization about the absolute, about Krishna, that is actually the language of the spiritual world. Because that is coming from the heart. It's not just a, it can be, or apparently it can come through English, Hindi, whatever language, or Sanskrit. But it is actually the knowledge of the absolute and the language of the spiritual world. So when we go through the material knowledge, it is pretty dry. One time I was with few people regarding the style of writing in English, and it's a course, you know, style of writing. So we're discussing different kinds of writing for different subjects, how the academic writing varies in different subjects, say for science in this way, for in math in this way, philosophy in the other way. So he was mentioning regarding philosophy that one of the professors, he was mentioning, oh, philosophy can get so complicated that even one paragraph can span over so many pages. He was specifically mentioning about French philosophy. You know, it can just span over so many pages, just one paragraph. And it gets so dry and so boring. It's a fact, it gets boring. And you know, common people, you know, they start sleeping maybe. So here in Srimad Bhagavatam, it qualifies what kind of books are they. It's meant, Nayatvachaschitrapadam harer yasho jagat pavitram pragrinida karhichit tadvayasam tirthamushandi manasa nayatra hamsaniraman yusikshaya. That is, these words which are simply glorifying the material creation, or in other words, just the mundane subject matters. These places are just simply known as Tadvayasam Tirtham. This is place of pilgrimage of crows, meaning it's just a place of garbage. So it can be philosophy, it can be spanned over thousands and thousands of books, still it is simply Vayasam Tirtham, it is just garbage. And it is mentioned, even though it is beautifully presented, that is Chitrapadam, it is very beautiful words, very linguistic, is very nice, still it is just useless, it is just garbage. And in contrast to that, Sudha Goswami mentions, Tadvag Visargo Janataka Viplavo Yasmin Pradishlogam Abhattavatyavi Namanya Anantasya Yashankitaniya Srinandi Gayanti Ghanandi Sadhava. So if somebody is glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even Abhattavatyavi, that is even the language which is broken, even if the language is not correct, if it is imperfectly composed, still, what is that? It is being glorified and is being accepted by the sages who are thoroughly honest. So this is the contrast. And to this, Srila Prabhupada mentioned a very interesting point. That is, no, we shouldn't look upon Srimad Bhagavatam as Abhathyavatyavi. Abhatha means mistakes, imperfectly composed. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not imperfectly composed. It is perfectly composed. The poetry of Srimad Bhagavatam is great. It is, you know, it's just like, you know, if somebody likes poetry, and if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, it is just, you know, it's just a feast. Such a beautiful presentation of the absolute truth. And actually speaking, it is presented in such an interesting way with so many stories, so many pastimes. So that is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada says this is actually spiritual aesthetic. Spiritual aesthetic. Material aesthetic means it is just simply Vayasam Tirtham, it is garbage. But Srimad Bhagavatam is spiritual aesthetics. That is, it is a spiritual art. It is very tasteful. And it is not material sound, because the material sound is limited and material sound cannot describe the absolute. However, Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting the absolute. And through the pages of Bhagavatam, by the letters of Bhagavatam, by the words of Bhagavatam, with the verses of Bhagavatam, with each line, each pada of each verses, Srimad Bhagavatam is presenting Krishna, the absolute truth. So it is mentioned in Bhagavatam itself, Krishna Sadhama Bhagade Dharma Gyanadvisaha Kalo Nashtadrisha Esha Puranarko Azinotitaha. That Krishna has departed from this world along with religiosity, dharma, jnana, with knowledge. So who is replacing Sri Krishna? That is Srimad Bhagavatam. That is Puranarka. It is the sun of light of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is arisen in the dark age of Kali Yuga. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is the literary incarnation of Srimad Bhagavatam, of Sri Krishna. Now, it was the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed, you know, all his instruction can be summarized into, you know, few lines, summarized in essence. As it is mentioned, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya Saddhama Vrindavanam. That's the first two points. That is, one should worship Vrajendra Tanaya, one should worship Sri Krishna, Saddhama Vrindavanam. And the supreme abode is Vrindavan. Ramya Gajit Upasana Vrajavasu Vargena Yakalpita. So, and one should ultimately, the highest form of worship is that of the gopis, the Vrajavasus of Vrindavan. Then he mentions, okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the Param Purana. It is the spotless Puranam. And it has no tinge of material contamination. It doesn't propose anything which will lead to material bondage. Rather, it will liberate and will take one to the abode of Krishna. So, that is presented. And Srimad Bhagavatam, when was presented, when was heard by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was completely in tears. He was crying. He was rolling on the ground. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Chaitanya Bhagavat. There are different verses of Srimad Bhagavatam presented. When Mahaprabhu just heard those verses, Mahaprabhu was just rolling on the ground in ecstasy, because he was experiencing Krishna in full. So after Mahaprabhu returned from Gaya, there was a change in his characteristics. Before that, he was a logician, he was a grammarian. But after returning from Gaya, he manifested himself as a full devotee. He was completely in tears. He was calling out for Krishna, since he got initiated by Ishwarapuri on the way to Gaya. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presents that he was perceiving Lord Krishna throughout Bhagavatam, And also his followers, they were also perceiving Krishna in his, in whole of Bhagavatam. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he returned from Gaya and he, when he started teaching his students Sanskrit grammar, he presented everything in relation to Krishna. Every letter of Sanskrit he presented as expansions of Krishna. Everything. Sandhi, the conjunction of words. Samasa, everything, all different Sanskrit terms, everything he explained in terms of Krishna. And following in his footsteps, Srila Jiva Goswami, he presented Harinamamrita Vyakaran, the grammar of nectar of Harinam. So he presented that. And in which the first statement of Srila Jiva Goswami is Narayana Udbhavat Imam Varnakrama. So he mentioned that all these letters, all these alphabets in Sanskrit are nothing but expansions of Lord Narayana. So then we can see, yes, it is true. So these great souls, they are literally meaning that. When we say, okay, in this purport we read that each word, each letter, each word and each sentence of Srimad Bhagavatam is glorifying Krishna and it is complete and absolute. And Srila Jiva Goswami, he is actually proving that. He is saying each letter is coming from Krishna. It's expansion of Krishna. It's expansion of Lord Narayana. And he presented the whole grammar, whole Panini grammar, he actually changed to Krishna. Everything, each and everything. If it is a short, he will call it Vaman. So it's short. And if it's a long word, he will call it Trivikram because he expanded as Trivikram. Like that, everything related to Krishna and his expansion. Everything. So this is actually seeing Krishna even in each letter of Bhagavatam. Very advanced consciousness, but the acharyas are showing that it is possible. So Srimad Bhagavatam presents verses with unlimited depth of realizations. There is no limit to it because it is completely spiritual. We may have difficulty. When we read Bhagavatam, we may feel exactly the opposite. We may read Bhagavatam for some time and at one point we think, what am I reading? Right? It happens. You know, which page am I in? You know, which pastime am I in? We are completely lost sometimes. You know, focus completely lost and we may think we may be reading in, you know, sleeping or in a trance. Okay, then realize, okay, yes. What happened? I don't know. We page sometimes, you know, read whole page and then think, what did I read now? Can't remember anything. So there is a difference. There is a difference in approaching Srimad Bhagavatam. But we have to understand, yes, it has unlimited depth of realization. So I will pick two examples to show, you know, to show this point. One is the Atmaram verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this Atmaram verse to Sanatan Goswami in 61 different ways. It's not just it has only 61 meanings, it has unlimited meanings, but he actually showed, he showed the verses in 61 ways. Okay, this 61 verse, you can actually look through this verse. Why this verse actually came about? Suta Goswami asked this question, sorry, Shanagarishi asked Suta Goswami, why Shukadeva Goswami, being a self-realized soul, why did he study Srimad Bhagavatam? It's a very natural question. Why did he actually took the trouble to study the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, which has, you know, 18,000 verses, if he has already realized the Supreme Absolute Truth? Then, Suta Goswami, to clarify this point, he quoted Atmaram verse, we can see in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is Atmaramasya Maneyo Nirgantapi Urikrame Kurvanti Ahetagi Bhakti Iddham Bhuta Guno Harehe. So here, when it's mentioned that if all different varieties of Atmarams or those who take pleasure in Atma or Spirit Self, especially those established on the path of self-realization, though freed from all kinds of material bondage, desire to render unalloyed devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, this means that the Lord possesses transcendental qualities and therefore can attract everyone, including the liberated souls. So this is the position. Now, when Mahaprabhu explained this, he actually took different words. He took 11 words from this verse and then he took all the meanings of each verse and he combined and he explained 61 different ways to Sanatan Goswami. And same thing, when we met with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he again explained the Atmaram verse. And hearing the explanation of Atmaram verse, the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he changed. He accepted that this cannot be just a young sannyasi, but he has to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, right in front of me. So hearing the explanation of this one verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, the heart of Sarvabhava Bhattacharya completely changed. 61 types of explanation. Of course, we shouldn't try to explain somebody, even if we get to know all the 61 types of explanation of Atmaram verse. If we explain somebody, they may not become devotee. Maybe better for them, you know, 61 kinds of sweets if we give, maybe they become devotee. So we had to apply this principle according to time, place and circumstances. Because Sarvabhava Bhattacharya, he was already a scholar, so he could actually relish the 61 kinds of explanation. So he had to speak according to people, don't just, you know, we cannot just imitate. Now, in this verse, there are two words, which is api and cha. Api, you know, it's used as conjunction, you know, and, in spite of. Cha, you know, and, that is just mean, meaning of cha. But it's mentioned that just by adding these two words, it's mentioned that the import of this verse can be increased unlimitedly. So we see the words, apparently it looks like, you know, it's just nothing. Cha, cha, anyone knows in Sanskrit. Cha means and. And api means, you know, in spite of. Or api can also use and or a little bit more like that. So api and cha, you know, it's just like a, just a common verse. But it is just, you know, cha, it's in one letter. But it's mentioned, Acharya says here in the purport, that it can give the meaning of the verse, you know, it can actually explain the verse in unlimited ways. See, this is just one verse. Again, just one letter can increase the meaning of the verse in unlimited ways. So this is transcendental science. This is knowledge of the absolute. So, you know, it is difficult for a material intelligence to understand what it is. So, the conclusion is that, so by interpretation of each verse of the shloka, one can see unlimited numbers of transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna that attract the mind of a pure devotee. The unlimited transcendental qualities of Krishna is presented in here, and that can attract, that is in one verse, or even in one letter one could see. And that can attract the mind of a pure devotee. So obviously, we are not pure devotees, at least I am not. So, we may not have unlimited attraction, but at least we can try to develop some attraction. That is, how can we develop attraction? Okay, first of all, if you want to read Bhagavatam and we have develop taste for Bhagavatam, first we have to read Bhagavatam. And in what mood we have to read Bhagavatam? That is again mentioned here in the second verse of first canto, Shushrushubhi. That is, by submissive listening, by submissive reading one can. That is a qualification, submissive reading, submissive listening, which one can actually try to develop taste for Bhagavatam. Then, instead of submissive reading, when we are actually, you know, submissively sleeping, or, you know, we are just, you know, spaced out while reading, then we don't get the actual thing, you know. We miss out the points. Even though there is so much of nectar, if we are not very cautious, if we are not using our intelligence while reading, then we cannot get so much from Bhagavatam. So the right attitude is required to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, one key point in reading Bhagavatam is, one is appreciation. That is, we have to have some appreciation in what we are reading. So Srila Prabhupada has put so much of effort in putting so much of wonderful information in the purports of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we should develop appreciation for each and every sentence. And we have to think what Srila Prabhupada has to give for us in this sentence. In that way we can develop some appreciation. Yes, so much is there. So if you think what the Bhagavatam has to speak to me, Bhagavatam, when we are reading, we have to see, yes, Krishna is speaking to me through Bhagavatam. So what is there for me? So in that way, when we go through each and every sentence, then we get more and more understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. With that we can actually develop some appreciation. There is so much. Second, it is application. Then we can think, okay, how can we apply in what kind of, how is it useful for me? How can we make it in my practice, Srimad Bhagavatam? Second is sharing or preaching. So third is sharing or preaching. So how can I help myself as well as how can I use this knowledge to help others? So in this mode, when we approach Srimad Bhagavatam, then we get more understanding. Along with, obviously, with devotional service. Then Bhagavatam actually reveals. The same thing when we read over and over, we can understand, we are understanding more and more. The reason is Bhagavatam is actually revealing more and more to us. So in that mood, when we approach Bhagavatam, then we can get more knowledge. And then we apply that, then we can turn that jnana into vijnana, to realization. So, the beauty of this knowledge is that one's heart becomes cleansed just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and one becomes very inspired to do devotional service. Actually, one becomes very inspired to chant Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavatam and appreciating and relishing it. One becomes, you know, more enlivened to do service for everything. Bhagavatam gives that inspiration. Yesterday, Sangarshan Das Prabhu was mentioning a very interesting point yesterday night program. Srila Prabhupada said one should study Bhagavatam 24 hours. And he said, okay, one should serve Krishna 24 hours as well. So simultaneously, how is it possible? So he mentioned, yes, one can study Bhagavatam, whatever time one has, in 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever is possible. And apart from that, then rest of the time we had to leave Bhagavatam. Or we had to act according to Bhagavatam, engage in devotional service. In that way one can actually read Bhagavatam, or one is acting as Bhagavatam, and one can actually study Bhagavatam the rest of the time. So this is the process. So one can be engaged. And one becomes enlivened. If you get very nice realization, very nice understanding of certain points from Bhagavatam, one becomes very enlivened to do devotional service. So this is the beauty of Bhagavatam. And another main point in regarding Bhagavatam is, when we preach Bhagavatam, Krishna gives more knowledge. Krishna gives, there is some reason for Krishna's revealing, because he is actually sharing this knowledge through books or through sharing the knowledge, talking. In some way, if one is sharing this knowledge, then Krishna gives more. Because Krishna thinks, okay, there is a reason. He is utilizing what is given now, so let me give more. So this is the beauty. So if we actually give more Bhagavatam to others, then we also get more understanding of Bhagavatam. So that is the mercy of Krishna, and that is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there is a very beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is mentioned, Sri Chaitanya Prabhum Mante Yat Padashraya Virvataha Viryataha Sangrani Akara Varta Agnya Siddhanda San Manim. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by the potency of the shelter of his lotus feet. Even a fool can collect the valuable jewels of conclusive truth from the minds of the revealed scriptures. So by mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can actually get the jewels of conclusions of Shastra from the mind of scriptures. So that the scripture is actually, the conclusions are presented in Bhagavatam itself. So if we actually please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by propagating the Krishna consciousness movement, by preaching Krishna consciousness, by bringing in more people, then actually we get, you know, more and more understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the secret of understanding more Bhagavatam, by giving Bhagavatam more to others. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions.
How can reading Bhagavatam sometimes it does get confusing to read? Like, there's so many topics that I do go over the air. Does one just read, or do they try and read carrying on?
Generally, if somebody is reading for the first time, one just go through, and if there are serious doubts, one can clarify with other devotees. But the aim should be, first time, just go through the whole Bhagavatam. And in between, some doubts one can clarify with other devotees. One may not be able to go very detailed in the first go, but finish once. Then after that one can go detailed. Yeah, with the help of a devotee. If one has to go detailed, one needs help of a devotee. Otherwise it can become difficult. Any further questions? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Bhagavatam is for two types of people.
Yeah.
The second one was those who are affected, very much affected by the moods. So in that case, first, how can he release if he is already a Hindu, and then how can he keep serving Bhagavatam?
Yes. Yes. So how can Srimad Bhagavatam help a materialistic person? Yes, of course. At the beginning, we are all materialistic, fully, completely materialistic, because we had no clue about Srimad Bhagavatam. nor did we have any understanding about Krishna. So one has to start at some point, right? So when we come in touch with the devotees and when we understand a little bit about devotional service, a little bit about Srimad Bhagavatam, so initially we don't hear first of all Srimad Bhagavatam when we come in association with the devotees. We understand a bit more preliminary subject matters. Coming in Bhagavad Gita, and which is explained in many other small books. So we come to some platform where we can actually start understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't straight away come to Srimad Bhagavatam. Even though we are materially contaminated, depending on our contamination, in other words, depending on our purity, we can relish Srimad Bhagavatam. So my answer is point number one, somebody who is very, very new, we don't bring them to Srimad Bhagavatam class, rather we try them to understand the basics. And when some basics are clear, then one can understand Bhagavatam to the degree of the purity. And since we are engaged in devotional service and we keep hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, so as we progress we understand more and more.
On the same point, if you want to learn Bhagavatam, we have got very nice courses of Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Bhairava and people
Yes, that's right. Srila Prabhupada has given structured programs to study Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everything. So one can take help of devotees who are teaching this and then one can understand more about this. That's the reason even Bhakti Vaibhav, how to do Bhakti Vaibhav, there is some preliminary qualification. One should have done Bhakti Shastri. Meaning one should have studied Bhagavad Gita, Necro Devotion, Necro Instruction and Shisha Upanishad. So, to start Bhagavatam, a basic standard is expected. And at the same time, Bhagavatam can be presented, so even to the new people in one sense, because sometimes Prabhupada had given lectures where many new people were there. So, Prabhupada brought it down to people such a way that they can understand. Prabhupada brought it down, everyone can understand Bhagavatam in that way, and they brought them up to the highest standard. So, it is possible. Doesn't mean one goes directly to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the intimate pastimes of Krishna with his gopi friends. Rather, explain many other points can be explained from the basics and then one can build up. Yeah.
Another point in the story, Maharaj was mentioning about all the 18,000 verses are related to Krishna.
Yes.
And you can see in the book because spoke 4 verses in Bhagavatam. And all the 18,000 extension of those verses.
Yes.
So we can see the proof that every verse in Bhagavatam is deeply related to Krishna.
Yes. Yes,
Prabhu. Is Srimad Bhagavatam eternally existing?
Yes, the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, is eternally existing, even though it was written maybe 5,000 years back. Say, even the Lord revealed Srimad Bhagavatam in 4 seed verses, Chatushloki, to Lord Brahma. It's the beginning of the creation.
And the rest of the Bhagavatam was not existing at that time. It came out later, right?
No, it is an explanation, or it's an expansion of the 4 verses of Srimad, the 4 seed verses. But the knowledge is the same. So these 4 seed verses contains everything. Name, form, qualities and past tense of Krishna in full. So, you know, with the material logic it is difficult to understand. To make out something out of the whole thing, but it is there. By the mercy of the Lord, because Lord Brahma had darshan of Krishna. So by the mercy of Krishna, because he satisfied Krishna with devotional service. So he revealed the whole knowledge in the heart of Lord Brahma. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikave Muhyandita Surya. So he gave the whole knowledge. So he presented the heart of Lord Brahma. Then Brahma gave to Narada. And by the instruction of Narada, Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's there. You cannot say, everything is there in 4 verses. One cannot say it was in there.
When I was 5 years old, my mother used to say,
Yeah.
If you don't become the devotee of Krishna,
yeah.
You go to another womb.
That's right. Yeah.
This can be human womb or So it's essential if you want to promise change that you have to become devotees. You get out of the material world. There's no other way. And Bhagavatam is the most important source after the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what should Krishna conscious person should do when he is just by himself in a crowd where they are not Krishna conscious and he can see that there's some trouble in the room and they make some trouble? So what should that Krishna conscious person do at that time? Should he lose his anger with him or should he be calm and try to solve the situation? What did you
I cannot get it specific, I think. A little bit more.
Well, my question is, if there's one Krishna conscious person in the middle and there's plenty of people around him,
yeah,
and they are not Krishna conscious, and he can see that there will be some trouble happening, and he knows that that's not right to do, so what should he be doing at that particular time to save that situation from being happening?
It depends. Say, if you see, if you go out, many times you will be the only devotee. And if you go anywhere, practically speaking, if you go by yourself, you go anywhere in the city or anywhere, you are by yourself, you won't see any devotees around. And what's happening is the whole, if you see the whole city here in Melbourne or anywhere you go, the whole sinful activities are going on. And the things are happening which shouldn't happen. That's what is happening everywhere. You know, even sitting here we can see the same thing. We are a group of devotees, still we can see what's happening in the city or in a, just outside or in a neighboring place, everywhere what's going on. It's not, you know, it's not something which should happen. It's trouble. It is a trouble is happening everywhere.
So what should we do with that?
Yeah, at that time means it's all the time. It's, you don't have to consider, you know, just in the street, you know, you're just walking, you know, there is something is happening which shouldn't happen. The point is in the material creation, is at this point of time, what's going on is completely sinful. Means it shouldn't happen. Whatever is happening around, it shouldn't happen. Meat eating, you know, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, that's what is happening, right? So, devotees, first, we should practice Krishna consciousness and we should preach. This is the way we can help people. That's the reason the Prabhupada said this is a preaching movement. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is preaching movement. Because we are seeing that if we are single or collective, doesn't matter if devotees, still we are seeing that around what's going on is non-Krishna conscious sinful activities. So we have to preach. There is no point. We cannot just take a violent approach. Like, you know, okay, there is a meat shop, okay, we will throw stone or, you know, we not do that. We had to preach. We had to cut it through knowledge. Because Mahaprabhu himself didn't do that. Yes, he didn't kill Madai, right? He didn't kill. He gave, you know, he through the correcting the person within the soul, within the contamination, he corrected. So we had to approach the same way, that is, changing the heart by devotional service in different ways, by the name, by the knowledge, by prasadam, through different means. Yes, sir?
At the moment, in Bhakti Bhavapur, we are doing Yambudvi.
Yeah.
So you can see me when I do the things. Mother Earth can give us.
Yes.
But now we are getting earthquake. Was started in that moment, still in moment.
Yes.
So you can see what is happening now.
Yeah.
Mother Earth is not happy.
No. Okay. Today is just one point again. Today is Vakreshwar Pandit's disappearance, so I forgot to mention, just one point I can mention. He is a very close associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Vakreshwar Pandit is known for one special thing, that is his dancing. Especially, he was a very specialist dancer. In fact, in Jagannath Puri, when Mahaprabhu arranged different parties for dance in front of Lord Jagannath. So one of the chief dancer for one group was Vakreshwar Pandit. So he assigned different devotees. Nityananda Prabhu, the chief dancer of one group. Vakreshwar Pandit, chief dancer of one group, like that. And even during the pastime of Jhankasi, when the whole devotees went in protest of Jhankasi, the first civil disobedience movement 500 years back. Even then, there were many groups of devotees, you know, thousands and thousands of devotees, and each group had a chief dancer. So he looked at Haridas Thakur and he said, okay, Haridas Thakur, you go, you be the chief dancer of one group. And he looked at Vakreshwar Pandit and he said, okay, you be the chief dancer of another group, like that. And when he looked at Nityananda Prabhu became very sad. He actually looked at Mahaprabhu. He said, you know, he was thinking in this way. Nityananda Prabhu thought, I waited for so much, such a long time to associate with you. And finally I am with you. And now you want to send me away to lead one group to dance. So he wanted the association of Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu understood the mood of Nityananda Prabhu and he said, okay, you can stay with me and you can dance along with me. So, but Vakreshwar Pandit is the chief dancer of one group. So Vakreshwar Pandit, even in the Nectarnal Kirtans, Vakreshwar Pandit used to dance with all the Panchatattva and other devotees. And Vakreshwar Pandit, he will dance like anything. It's like when we are fired up for a kirtan, we can dance for 1 hour, maybe 1.5 hour, 2 hour, 3 hour, maybe 4 hour, maybe dead, or 5, 6, like that maximum. Or maybe you take some rest and we may dance a little bit more. But Vakreshwar Pandit, he could dance 72 hours continuous, non-stop. So that is the potency of Vakreshwar Pandit. So he was the, you know, personification in that sense.
What was he previously?
I don't know, I can't remember. Maybe you can. You remember, do you?
I remember.
Yeah, it's mentioned somewhere, but I can't remember. Yeah. Okay then. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.